western sky. Rope an old blue norther and milk it till it's dry. Bulldog the Mississippi, fences down flat. Long before you take this cowboy's hat.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday morning. Ascension Technologies text line 251-343-0106 to be in touch with the program. All you got to do is utilize the text line and do our best to respond to your queries. Joining us now on the line, we do this on Mondays, every other Monday typically, but given I was off yesterday, we're doing it today, on Tuesday. State Representative Shane Stringer on with us. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Hey, doing great, Jeff. Thank you again for having me.
Hey, we always appreciate getting you on, and thank you for making time for us. Well, we'll kind of kick it off here. We haven't talked in a little bit. I think there's a Labor Day holiday somewhere in there, but you still stay pretty busy. I know Manufacturer Alabama had their event. What's the buzz around town, if you will?
Yeah, we're, you know, staying busy. Have that, and just, you know, constantly having meetings here and there and just meeting with people and trying to stay up to date on everything, making sure we're ready for the next session when it comes up in February. But, you know, not a whole lot. You know, a little bit of talk going on about, you know, all the infrastructure needs, whether it, you know, be I-65 widening or the Highway 43 corridor project or Highway 45. Lots of talk going on with that, you know, a little bit of buzz going on about the potential of a gaming deal coming up next session and listening to that. So, you know, just a little bit of buzz about everything. I guess a lot of speculation and anticipation on what will come up in the next session. So we'll see how that all plays out.
Well, the infrastructure thing is a constant discussion in state politics. But the 43 thing has turned out to be very, very contentious. And what I think were the pro 43ers out there are not making this. They're making this about a Black Belt West Alabama project and how they deserve to get their just due. Yet the anti-43ers are more about the financing aspect of it and the lack of federal funding involved with this project. Is that a pretty fair assessment?
Yeah, I would say so. I think it boils down to having balance in what we do. You know, everything in government needs to have some balance or whatever. It's just like Highway 45. You know, I've been pushing to have it four lane for the last 5 years, and you know, that's a roughly 60 mile stretch of road, So that's, you know, that's going to be a tough deal to accomplish in one, you know, one project, in my opinion. You know, we have a whole state worth of infrastructure to keep up and to maintain and to grow. And when you start talking about, you know, trying to four lane 60 miles, that's a lot to do. And I think we're looking at the same issue with the 43 project. You know, yes, it's needed, and yes, we need some projects down here and in that area. But, you know, I just think it would have been wiser to, you know, if we could have gotten some federal funding to offset some of that and allow us to continue to grow other parts of the state and accomplish that also. But, you know, without the federal funding, I wish we would have done it more in increments, you know, maybe what I've been pushing for Highway 45, which is, you know, that one's 60 miles. Let's see if we can do 20 miles at a time, you know, three projects to accomplish that. And that would allow us to meet our goal, but yet still, you know, hopefully still reach the rest of the state and work on projects there too. So, you know, I don't know. I think that if we could look at something like that, that would be more ideal in my opinion.
Well, it seems like everything is being done to fast track this, and I don't, you know, they can't hide from that. They're trying to get this done in an expedient manner. Now, nothing in government typically goes fast, but they're fast tracking this, And I guess the question would be, what's the rush? Why is it important to fast-track Highway 43 as opposed to any other project in the state? It would be my question.
And I agree with that. I mean, we don't fast-track any of the other projects across the state, so I don't know what makes this one different. But, you know, it's obviously, you know, the governor and her staff, they're pushing it and wanting it, and that's fine. And hopefully they'll get it, but I just wish that we could have done something different with the financial aspect of it. To be physically smart for the taxpayers' money, you know, and let's make sure we're being wise and prudent in how we spend that. And I just wish that we, you know, could have worked on some kind of matching dollars or something to help offset that expense. So we're not, you know, not only are we using, I guess, the money that we have now, we're even looking at barring against future tax revenue, potential revenue, to help cover it. And I just don't know if that's the smart thing to do. It's, you know, it's no different than building a home or buying a home. You don't go and build or buy something you can't afford. And I think that's, you know, what we're almost doing in this scenario.
Joined by State Representative Shane Stringer here on the program. Let's move on to something else. So you mentioned looking forward toward the next session, February. I mean, here it is. It's nearing the end of September. Gambling seems like it's going to, they're going to take another shot at gambling this go around. They got it. Your colleagues have a task force. There's a bunch of Andy Witt alleges there's a bunch of illegal gambling going on around the state behind, you know, convenience stores and whatnot, or, you know, a bunch of speakeasy type gambling situations. Is that justification enough to take a comprehensive approach to gambling like a lot of people, a lot of your colleagues would like to do?
I mean, that absolutely, I guess, would play a part in it. But I think at the end of the day, you know, it's something we should have already accomplished and looked at. I mean, you've got every state surrounding Alabama that's already has gaming in some form, whether it be a straight lottery or whether it be full-blown gaming. And I think that, you know, we've lost a lot of money or revenue by not accomplishing it or addressing it sooner. But, and, you know, the longer I think that we don't, it allows these illegal operations to grow and to go. And I'm hoping that, you know, the Attorney General or some of them will look at these illegal operations and try to shut them down. I know that Sheriff Birch has looked at some of them here in Mobile County and, you know, addressing some of our local ones. So, you know, it's I guess a lot of factors that play into the gaming scenario and what you want. And, you know, of course it comes down to some people want full blown gaming with everything and some want, you know, the straight lottery. But I think from what I'm hearing, most likely if we do get something, it's going to be more of a, probably more of the full blown gaming from what it sounds like. So I guess we'll see what form that comes in once this committee or commission or whatever's that's working on it comes up with and what kind of suggestions they make.
Let's talk about these illegal gambling speakeasies or whatever we're going to call them. But, like, the problem seems to be this, and this is, like, straight out of, like, 1955 Phoenix City or something, but the local prosecutors, the local law enforcement knows these things are going on and they allow them. And then I guess the attorney general could step in, but every time the attorney general steps in, the attorney general gets beat up by the press, gets beat up by the local law enforcement. It is sort of a same thing going on with the ballot, absentee ballots. But it's really got to be where the local district attorney and the local sheriff are going to have to prosecute these people operating these facilities. Otherwise, I mean, even if the state legislature passes a law, how do you compel local law enforcement to do anything about it?
I agree with you, and you're totally right. I think that, you know, some of the scenario that we run into is some of the proceeds from the illegal gaming or from the gaming, they set aside for different organizations and groups and making contributions to the law enforcement community and different ones. And I think that plays a part in it, you know. And, you know, we've got to stand up for what's right and do what's right regardless. And if we do that, then I think that you're going to see, you know, if it was some of these sheriffs and DAs from these local communities would do their part, I think they would go in there and shut them down. You know, like I said, our local sheriff has stepped up. I mean, he ain't been in office too long, and he's already, you know, making sure they're shutting down or he's fixing to deal with them. And I think that was, you know, awesome of him to do that. And we've got to continue to push that narrative across the state that other sheriffs and DAs should be doing this.
Historically, has that been a problem in Mobile County that you know of?
Not too much. You know, we've had over the years, you know, working in law enforcement and long time with the sheriff's department, we've had, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 different gaming operations that we've discovered. And, of course, we've gone in and raided them and shut it down and put a stop to it. And, you know, you just monitor the traffic, make sure they don't try to open back up or deal with it again. And so far, you know, that has not happened. We have had some newer operations, I think, pop up from time to time. But, you know, then we just go in there and address them.
Well, I mean, you know, some of our listeners may not be aware, but you go to some places in the state and the law enforcement turns a blind eye. In some places, it's, you know, you're like Lowndes County and Whitehall. I mean, you have full-fledged, big, kind of like, I would say quite like Vegas, but shiny lights, and the operation looks very, very professional. So, like, it's just, I guess the main point of this is there's no, like, uniformity, no clarity in what is allowed and what isn't, and that's what you guys hope to accomplish, it would seem.
Yeah, that is correct, you know, and that goes back to just what I'm saying. You've got, you know, operations in different areas and different counties that are contributing money to different church groups and different organizations and different law enforcement, you know, to buy vests for officers and do different stuff like that. And, you know, they're doing that with the, in my opinion, they're doing that with the intent to hopefully keep somebody from make it least likely for them to want to shut that operation down.
We'll wrap it up on this. And I saw in the Senate, Garland Gudger's got his version of, but it was something Jamie Keel, your colleague in the House, was trying earlier this year in the last session. This ballot harvesting stuff and getting to the and creating a system of where the absentee ballot penalties are more distinct and more clear, and trying to crack down on some of this. When you see this, I mean, I think it's been something that's long plagued Alabama and probably out of sight, out of mind. But do you think this is a good way to go about maybe ending what, as from time to time, it just kind of pops up out of the blue, where you have this absentee ballot harvesting around different parts of the state?
Yeah, I was totally shocked that it did not pass the Senate or did not get brought up. I really expected it was going to pass if it did. I don't know what happened with that bill. You know, it was a good bill and a really good piece of legislation. And it just goes back to putting checks and balances in place for ballot harvesting and to prevent that. And hopefully that, you know, that'll get brought back up this next session and we can address that. And, you know, we passed it in the House. Hopefully we can get it passed in the House and then maybe even get it brought up in the Senate. So it's a good piece of legislation, and we absolutely need to put it in place. I mean, with all the allegations across not just the state, but the country during the last presidential election, you know, the more checks and balances we have in place, the least likely it will be to happen.
Well, I think this, depending on what the three-judge panel does with this redistricting question, if for some reason they draw two competitive congressional districts, you got to think Democrats don't have many pages of a playbook right now. They're very, very woefully outnumbered. They have no infrastructure, but historically they have used absentee balloting to bolster their turnout. You got to be ready for that, right?
Absolutely. And you know, and of course, that's the speculation whenever, you know, we started hearing all this ruckus of the COVID picking back up and, you know, the threats or the potential mask mandates again and all of the ruckus that came with COVID, you know, we were, you know, kind of getting concerned or whatever that just another avenue to try to force the absentee ballots and the, you know, that type of voting versus in-person voting, which, you know, is more likely for fraud or for, you know, misuse, I guess you could say, in the voting system.
Yeah, we'll see where that goes. Hey, Representative, we got to get out of here. We're out of time, but you're always very kind to come on this program. We'll do this again in a couple of weeks.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
That's State Representative Shane Stringer there. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Force Show on FM Talk 106.5.
It won't mean you're weak if you turn the other cheek. I hope you're old enough to understand. Son, you don't have to fight to be a man. There's someone for everyone.